good morning, everyone. I want to thank you all for this opportunity to stand before you this morning and teach from the Word that God has given us through His Bible. The Bible tells us that, therefore, through Him, let us continually to offer up to God a sacrifice of praise. That is, the fruit of our lips that confess His name. We find this in Hebrews 13:15. The Bible also tells us in Ephesians 5:18-19, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord. You know, worship is a very important part of a Christian's life, and it's something that each of us must be involved in. Today we want to examine what the New Testament has to say on the subject of singing. We want to look at why it's important to sing, how we can improve our singing, and then last we will look at, is there sin in our singing? One of the first instances that we find in the Bible, in the New Testament, of a singing is in Matthew 26:30. And the Scripture says, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. If you read the prior Scriptures right here to this, you will see that Jesus had just met with His apostles and had just instituted the Lord's Supper. You know, Jesus knew at this time that He was headed to be crucified. Why do you think that they sang a hymn at this time? It was to glorify God. We sing a lot of time number 15 in our book, to God be the glory, great things He has done. So loved He the world that He sent us His Son. When you sing, do you sing to glorify God? The next instance I'd like to look at here is over in Acts, the 16th chapter, verse 25. The Bible says, and at the midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God, and the prisoners heard them. You know, Paul and Silas, they had been stripped, beaten, whipped, and placed in the inner stocks of the prison. You know, despite this dismal situation, they praised God, praying to Him, singing, and the other prisoners there heard them. When visitors come, do they hear us lifting our voices to God and praising Him? This reminds me here of a story of a good friend that I had that I used to work with, named Ronnie Sweeney. Ronnie and I guess, had a lot in common that we both had been raised in the church. Ronnie's father, as a matter of fact, was a preacher in the Lord's church. And both of us had slipped away and gotten out into the world. And Ronnie knew that I had gotten back into attending church, and we talked about it some, and I went to his office one day and was talking to him, and Ronnie looked at me and he said, you know, Rick, said, I was coming down the road the other Sunday afternoon, and noticed on the sign it was time for services. I'm pretty sure it was Scottsboro, right up the road here. And he told me, he said, you know, Rick, he said, the preaching was good, but he said that was the most beautiful singing, and I had forgotten how pretty the singing was in the Lord's church. It had an impact on him. I often think, you know, we're just down the road a little ways. If that had come on down to a big Marrowbone, could Ronnie have felt the same way? As we look over in Romans 15:9, the Bible says, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles, and I'll sing unto thy name. You know, as Christians, we must confess God's name and sing God's name. Hebrews 2:12 says, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praises unto thee. You know, when I first was looking at this scripture, I was thinking that it's just telling us that to sing in the assembly of the saints. But after a little further study, I see that it's actually Jesus is saying, in the midst of those who have placed their trust in God, the Christians, that He will sing praises to His Father in heaven. Kind of makes me think there of the chapter, the scripture over in Matthew 18:20, where Jesus says, where two or more are gathered together in my name, there will I be in the midst of them. The next scripture I'd like to look at is over in Colossians 3:16-17. It says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God and the Father through Him." You know, these last two verses teach us that as we sing, it actually has two sides. Because we sing to one another and we sing to the Lord. Have you ever looked at your singing that way? Are we to make melody on an organ, piano, or a guitar? No, we're to make melody in our hearts. Well, how do we do that? You know, Paul tells us that in 1 Corinthians 14:15. What is it then? "I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding. Also, I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding." You know, we're to sing with all the enthusiasm we have, with all of our soul, mind, and being. When we do this in spirit and understanding, this is how we make a joyful noise unto the Lord. You know, singing is a very important part in a Christian's life. James 5:13 tells us, "Is any among you afflicted, let him pray. If any is merry, let him sing psalms." We can see here that the Bible teaches that we must sing, and we must sing from our hearts. Now I'd like to take a moment and look at some of the ways that we can improve our singing. You know, one way that we can do this is actually to ensure that everyone is singing. You know, we all need to sing if it's going to be what God wants it to be. We must realize that singing is not an option that we can or cannot do. You know, regardless of the quality of a person's voice, and I have this really bolded here, it's in their own mind, that God expects us to sing. It is a command that we sing to Him. As I was putting this lesson together, I would still go to the Five Points Congregation on Wednesday night, and I take my little grandchildren with me. And have been for several years now, and almost every Wednesday night, on the way there, they would ask me, "Papa, will you lead Jesus Loves Me tonight? Will you lead Jesus Loves Me?" And started out with Sebastian, and now it's little Lisa. She wants to do it. Sebastian is 8, and Lisa, I think, just turned 7. But I'd say, you know, I just led that last week. I cannot lead it every week. And it never really dawned on me why these children wanted me to sing Jesus Loves Me. But last fall, the congregation there at Five Points held their gospel meeting. And something happened at that meeting that made me realize why these children want me to lead Jesus Loves Me. My daughter and son-in-law, they have not yet saw the need to get these children up on Sunday morning and bring them to services. But the Sunday service at the gospel meeting at Five Points was like we are doing today. They had a meal afterwards and come back early afternoon for the evening service. And Mom, she went home. When she come back, Sebastian, the little boy, come with her. Sebastian was sitting right there on the front row. Brother Bill McDonald doing the preaching. Brother Bill, he would always one that'll stand down in front of the pew, don't stand up on the podium. But Brother Bill, the whole front row was full of young children. Brother Bill walked over and he acknowledged these children being here, how good it is to have these young people here hearing the Word of God. And he asked them a couple of questions and he went on about his lesson. That afternoon, Mama told me that Sebastian told her, they call her Dot Dot, he said, "You know, Dot Dot, I almost didn't go today. I said, I sure am glad I did because I was a part of the lesson." Guess where Sebastian was sitting Monday night? Up there. Tuesday night. Yes, Wednesday night too. These children want to be a part of our worship service. I think too many times us as adults, when we come to sing, and we're worried about what that person around us is hearing us sing, the one in front of us, brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so. But you know, these children, they open up. All they want to do is sing and be happy. Kind of makes me think of the scripture there over in Matthew 18, right there, verse 3, I think it is, where it says, except we become as little children, we cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. I say that the children want to be a part of a worship service. Don't you want to be a part of the worship service? This also kind of reminds me of the widow woman that we read about over in the 21st chapter of Luke, right there, I think, in the first three verses. You know, there was many more people there that gave more than she did. She gave her two mites, but she was commended of God for giving of all she had. You know, maybe you don't have the most beautiful voice, but God commends those who give Him their best, all that they've got. You know, we're to speak to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. As we read earlier, singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord. We read that in Ephesians 5:19. And we're also commanded to let the word of Christ dwell richly in all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another. You know, these are not optional matters, but commands that we must obey. You know, there are some keys to good singing. Actually, singing is a wind where you use your body and air. I can remember that early on, one of the opportunities that I had, Brother Curtis Manor, that at the time was preaching at Five Points, worked with us a little bit, and he was always telling us we had to open our mouths. I thought back of how many opera singers and all of you ever saw that singing and barely opening their mouth. So basically, it is a time that we take care of our voice. And you know, sometimes we have to warm up our voice. I've noticed times that when I get up ready to lead a song, if I hadn't kind of sung a little bit ahead, that it's kind of a rusty. Another thing that we can do is sing the part that fits our natural range. And another thing that I got here, just about this time last year, I know Brother David and I attended a singing workshop over at the Shacklett congregation over in Kingston Springs. But one of the things that we can do is to continue to grow in our knowledge of music. And I just encourage you, if you ever get an opportunity in this area where they have the congregational singing workshop, to be a part of that. It was so educational, so much learning that I did personally at this. And you know, a lot of times people say, well, I'm too old to do this. I'm too old to learn this. My older brother attends the Brown Chapel congregation in Dixon County there, and their song leader, Brother Charles Beasley, told me a couple of months ago that he was in his 60s when he learned to shape notes, and there was two men in their 80s that was one that taught him how to do it. So, once again, what does the Bible tell us over in Ecclesiastes 9:10? Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do it with all thy might. So as we study and learn more, we should apply ourselves fully to learning more about singing. Another way that we can improve our singing is about thinking and meditating on the words that we sing. If you look again at 1 Corinthians 14:15, the Bible tells us that we're singing with understanding. It means that we must meditate on the songs that we sing. As I think about this, probably, you know, one of the times that we can relate to this most in our selection of funeral songs, there's many times the mood is set, either sad or happy, by the song that we sing. I know a lot of times the song leaders in the worship service will sing songs that lead us to a certain part of our worship. We sing songs to lead us to prayer, and then when we're getting ready to partake of the Lord's Supper, a lot of times we sing songs to prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper. Another way that we can improve our singing, you know, is to sing as if when we sing, it's our opportunity to teach the truth. Do we think about singing that way? Are we to teach and admonish one another through our singing? Colossians 3:16 says we are. You know, we have songs in our book like Tomorrow May Be Too Late that actually teach the plan of salvation. repent, confess, and be baptized. We also sang, there's just one way. I have a song book at home, and it's just a newer version of the ones we use here, but that song book has a scripture with every song in it. So you can actually see there that and how many times I know I personally, as Brother David is bringing lessons, reading some scripture, that, there's a song that'll come to my mind from that certain scripture. But we must have feeling in our singing. It cannot be dead and lifeless. You remember over in Revelations 2:4, Jesus condemned certain Christians because they had lost their first love. They had lost their zeal and desire to be right with God. So today, then, our spirit must be involved in our singing. All the while, it must be guided by the truth. John 4:24 admonishes us to worship God in spirit and in truth. Lastly, I want us to look at, is there sin in our singing? I run across this as I was putting this together, and it's actually called hypocritical singing. We sing Sweet Hour of Prayer, and then we content ourselves with 10 or 15 minutes a day. We sing Heavenly Sunlight, and then stay away from church because it's too hot. We sing There Shall Be Showers of Blessing, but do not come to church when it rains. We sing Blessed Be the Tie That Binds Our Hearts in Christian Love, and let that least little offense sever that. We sing Serve the Lord with Gladness, and then some gripe about all there is to do. We sing We're Marching to Zion, and then we fail to march to Sunday school, worship service, or prayer meeting. We sing I Love to Tell the Story, and then we never mention it to anyone. We sing, Cast Thy Burdens on the Lord, and then worry ourselves into nervous breakdowns. This here, as I was studying this, was the one thing that really hit me when I read this, and I guess as many songs as I've sang, it kind of brought it to life to me, is we can sing a lie just as easy as we can speak one. Is there sin in our singing? One thing that personally happened to me with this is, share this real quickly, is had the opportunity to come here to Big Marrowbone and work with you and lead the singing. It was very difficult. I was leading in a rotation, leading singing the Five Points congregation. But as I studied this, one of my favorite songs that I lead a lot is that Here Am I, Send Me. And I got to thinking on this, and I was looking at that, Here Am I, Send Me. You really mean me? There's an opportunity out there, but there's someone else. And in my heart, I was actually convicted by this, that can I sit here and sing songs like that and then not go when there's an opportunity? So I share that with you, that I'm here today through the conviction of a song of Here Am I, Send Me. This morning, I hope that our lesson has made you maybe look a little bit different as our song part of our worship service. And I pray that you will sing with all you have at each service. And when the church leaders schedule a singing service, I've heard for several years the congregation at Five Points, the fifth Sunday of, when there was a fifth Sunday, they had a worship service, and I've heard several people say, well, they're just singing tonight, I think I'll stay home. But this is really an opportunity for you to be a part of the worship service and lift praise to the Almighty God. In closing this morning, I would like to take a look at the words of one of the songs in our book. You don't have to turn to it, but it's number 540. It's The Pearly White City. course, this is telling about heaven. And in the course of this song, it says, in that bright city, pearly white city, I have a mansion, a robe, and a crown. This morning, I'd like for everyone to reflect upon your life and ask yourself the question, do I have a robe and a crown awaiting for me? I told y'all early on a little about the story of Ronnie Sweeney, about the conversation of the singing in the service, but there's a little bit more to the Ronnie Sweeney story. You see, not too long after we had our conversation, Ronnie did not come to work one day. Being as dedicated as he was to work, we kind of all knew something was wrong. And the best I remember that they actually found Ronnie by his truck door getting ready to come to work. Ronnie was called from this life when he was 45 years old. A lot of us today seem to think we always have tomorrow. We seem to think that death does not come till we reach a certain part of our life. Today could be the last day. Everyone here, anyone, myself, could have the opportunity to prepare that robe and crown in heaven. You know, maybe you put Christ on in baptism and have fallen away. If so, the Bible tells us that, you know, we can confess our sins before men and we can pray to God and our sins will be forgiven. But the Bible also teaches us that we must be baptized for the remission of our sins. Would you like to prepare your robe and crown today? If you're subject to the invitation in any way, won't you please come forward as we stand and sing.
Almost persuaded now to believe, almost persuaded nice to receive. Seems now some soul to say, go, Spirit, go thy way. Some more convenient day, only thou call. Almost persuaded, come today.
Almost is but to